The following is a paid program. The views and opinions of this program are solely those of the host and do not necessarily reflect those of the KFBK staff or management or its parent company, Clear Channel Communications.
This is Mark Hoffman. Today on The Travel Guys, you might qualify to win a trip to New York City or Hawaii in our Mystery Spot contest. Legendary PBS travel show host Huell Hauser guest stars. Road reporters join us from Monument Valley, Utah, Montreal, Quebec, and Japan in the shadows of Mount Fuji. All that and 53 minutes of traveltainment next on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Get your kicks out on Route 66. Let it roll.
Let it roll. Good Sunday afternoon to you. It is a beautiful day in Sacramento, a little bit windy outside. I'm Mark Hoffman without Tom Romano, who is out wandering the streets of Sacramento somewhere with his family picking out wedding stuff for one of his daughters. So perhaps we will even hear from Tom somewhere along the way. We have a busy program today. We have Huell Hauser joining us. We have road reporters from literally all over the planet. And we have our new mystery spot to announce. Our old mystery spot was won just as we went off the air last week. We had the winner sitting online after we went off the air. It was Lewis and Clark National Park in Oregon. That was our mystery spot. The clues, there are two of us, Lewis and Clark. The first place we stopped was such a disappointment. We hope our new location will be better. They first stopped at a place named Cape Disappointment, just north of where they eventually landed. You can't see Russia from here, but at least you're looking in the right direction, Pacific Coast. And we were honored by our fellow citizens by being named a national park. So our next mystery contest will come up in just a few moments. Our first clue is coming up right after the travel news. All right, a few of our big – this is kind of a monument update today. Rome's Colosseum is disintegrating. Slabs of ancient plaster crashed through a 30-year-old wire protection net several times in the last few weeks. The plaster, which dates from Roman times, fell from a section of roof in one of the stone entrances through which crowds filed to watch gladiators fight each other. Archaeologists said disaster had been narrowly averted, and if it had happened later in the day, visitors could have been badly hurt or even killed. It is estimated it will cost some $33 million to restore the Colosseum, which has stood since 72 AD, this story says. Is that right? 72 AD? Man, you talk about your fixer-upper. The Field of Dreams movie site is for sale. The famous movie site, situated in the middle of a cornfield and located near Dyersville, Iowa, the main site of the movie Field of Dreams, is a popular tourist destination, particularly for movie lovers and baseball fans. Millions of people from all over the world have visited since the movie premiered over 20 years ago. The Field of Dreams real estate package encompasses the actual movie site, including a baseball diamond, two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath house featuring the movie's familiar front porch, six outbuildings, and a parcel of land totaling 193 acres. It all started when Universal Studios had the baseball diamond built in just 4 days during the summer of 1988. I wonder who will buy the Field of Dreams. And speaking of things for sale, the Mississippi Queen riverboat has been sold for scrap. This is really sad. The owner of the Mississippi Queen, Ambassadors International, has sold the beautiful old riverboat for scrap. The Mississippi Queen formerly sailed for Majestic America Line, Ambassadors River Cruise Business, that ceased operations in 2008. Ambassadors is stepping up its efforts to sell the Delta Queen, which is currently on charter as a floating hotel in Chattanooga. The Delta Queen, of course, is the sister ship to the Delta King, which sits on the Sacramento waterfront. And that is a little bit of a travel news update for you. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, give you our first clues on our Mystery Spot contest, and talk to travel reporter Scott Angeletti, who is roaming the wilds of Monument Valley, Arizona. You are listening to The Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
On the road again.
Welcome back to The Travel Guys. This is Mark Hoffman, sans Tom Romano. If you see Tom out there somewhere on the streets of Sacramento, why, tell him we said hi and tell him he's supposed to be here. right now. Well, I guess getting married is kind of important. All right, the mystery spot contest. This is the way it's going to work today. Our second mystery spot is going to get rolled out today. Your job is to figure out where we are talking about. We have already given one clue online at travelguysradio.com. So if you are near a computer and you have not already done that, you can go there and get the first secret clue, travelguysradio.com. That's also a way that you can register your guess. If you think that you have the mystery spot right, you can guess and it'll show up right here in the control room as you guess, literally. Or you can guess by calling 921-1530, and you can guess. We won't take guesses until after the bottom of the hour. First clue in this week's mystery spot, Gerald Ford spent time here as a kid. This week's mystery spot, first clue, Gerald Ford spent time here as a kid. Think about that one. We'll have another clue for you right after our first guest, who joins us now live from Monument Valley, Utah, is travel reporter Scott Angeletti. Good afternoon, Scott.
Hey, good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you, sir. You are out literally in the middle of nowhere.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so tell me, where have you been? Where are you guys headed to? You're last night, you've stayed. You're in one of the most spectacular spots in the whole Southwest Monument Valley, to start with.
Absolutely.
And so tell me a little bit about this brand-new hotel, the view there at Monument Valley, where you folks were last night.
Yeah, they opened up here in December of 2008, so it's just a little over a year old, and it's gorgeous. I'm sitting here in the lobby right now. They have a sandstone circular fireplace in the middle with Navajo rugs hanging all over the walls. It's a two-story building. All of the rooms have they're also gorgeous, and they all have private balconies that look down into Monument Valley. So beautiful. You sit there on your balcony when the sun rises and the sun sets, great views. Just a really lovely, lovely property. I highly recommend it.
So, Scott, when folks are in, when you go to Monument Valley, besides getting a great hotel with a spectacular view of the valley, how else do people see Monument Valley?
Well, there's several ways. The way we do is go on a four-wheel drive tour. There's several different type of vehicles. And actually, I had a sports leisure group right now here, and they wanted me to say hi, and they're having a great, great time. We go into the valley with a company called Simpson Trail Handlers. And I highly recommend them also because they're born and raised in the valley, so they know everything about the valley, and their guides are just so knowledgeable, and they have several different types of open-air vehicles and enclosed vehicles, so you can take your pick. And just had a wonderful time this morning seeing all the sights.
And so you're off from Monument Valley. You're headed north to some other spectacular canyonlands there up by Arches and Canyonlands National Park, correct?
Correct. Yeah, this is one of my favorite places in the Southwest also. It's in Moab, Utah. It's called the Red Cliffs Resort, and Sandy and all of her gang there just do a wonderful time. The service there is just incredible. You have to drive for 12 miles along the Colorado River with sandstone formations on both sides to get to this hotel, and when you get there, it's right on the Colorado River, and you get the sunset in the river, these beautiful buttes and mesas all around, and they have a movie museum inside on property, all the movies that were filmed in the Moab area, and also a vineyard on property. And one of my favorite places. So we're all excited to be heading that direction.
Road reporter Scott Angeletti is joining us live from Monument Valley, Arizona, on the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 this afternoon. Scott, I understand that your trip started off, one of the places you've already visited is the Four Corners Monument, and they're doing a little construction there. And tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, they started the construction there in February, and it was supposed to be finished sometime in June, but now they're telling me maybe more like October. So if you're planning to go that way, you need to check on that one. They took up the monument, and they're pouring concrete and making a better viewing area for people, so taking photographs of the Four Corners.
Now, this is where folks literally – we're the only place in the United States where four states come together. We got Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah?
Correct.
Okay, and you can literally, or at least you could have, straddled those four. So with no monument, how did you resolve that issue?
Well, I got a little creative. I at the last hotel we stayed at, I cut up some cardboard boxes in the shape of the states, and I wrote the names on each state. We taped them all up, put it down on the ground, and everybody got a kick out of that. So we got our photos from the Four Corners Monument.
So you made it into the Four Corners anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Scott, safe travels to all of you. To all of you folks, have a great time out there in Utah.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right, thanks for joining us, Scott Angeletti, live from Monument Valley, Arizona, where he is enjoying some spectacular weather, and was out in Monument Valley on a four-wheel drive Jeep tour this morning. Is headed up to Moab, to Canyonlands, and the other name of the Arches National Park up there, and a beautiful resort called Red Cliffs. If you want information, by the way, on the View Hotel or Simpson Travel Handlers or the Red Cliffs Resort, we'll get those posted on our website just after the program. So give us a few minutes to get those up if you have any interest. All right, back to the Mystery Spot contest here. Before we get to Huell Hauser, we gave you the first clue for today. Gerald Ford spent time here as a kid. Second Mystery Spot clue. I had to change my name to make sure the post office delivered the mail correctly. I had to change my name to make sure the post office delivered the mail correctly. First clue, Gerald Ford spent time here as a kid. We'll take some guesses after we speak with Huell Hauser here before the news break at the bottom of the hour. So if you think where you know where the mystery spot is, you'd like to take a shot at winning a trip to Hawaii or New York City, your choice, five days, four nights, including accommodations and airfare, you can call us at 921-1530 and get online. We'll take your guest. Earlier this week, PBS travel host Huell Hauser was in Sacramento hosting a luncheon at KVIE Channel 6. California Gold is his show, and it's seen regularly here in Sacramento on Channel 6. Huell, I have to tell you, was one of the nicest people that I've ever had the pleasure of interviewing. And I think you'll really enjoy learning a little bit about a television celebrity who really, in my mind, is just a regular guy. And to start out, I asked him how a regular guy with a country twang from Nashville ended up in California.
I came here from somewhere else, which puts me in a category of over half the people in California today who came here from somewhere else. And I'm proud that I came here from somewhere else. The great thing about coming to California from somewhere else is that California welcomes you with open arms and makes you feel at home and gives you opportunities. That's why people still come here, not only from all over this country, but from all over this world, in search of California's gold, not the literal gold nuggets that people came here looking for in 1850, but the gold of a better life for themselves and their children and their families.
And so when you came here, you were already in television?
I'd been in television pretty much all my life. I majored in history and political science, and there wasn't anything I could do with that degree, so I went into television. That's what people do who can't do anything else. And had been in television in Tennessee for 10 years, in New York for a couple of years, and then came to California, first to work for CBS in Los Angeles, and then eventually to work for PBS statewide.
So how did the travel tie in?
I have always been interested in feature stories, and feature stories take you out on the road. I had done this sort of program in Tennessee for over 10 years, traveling all over Middle Tennessee, doing feature stories for our 6 and 10 o'clock news every night. This was just a natural progression. You know, California used to have a real sense of identity back in the 30s and 40s especially. We were proud to be Californians. And I thought we needed a television program that would connect us all together and make us feel proud to be Californians once again. That's how California's goal came about.
Well, I think you're probably right. I came to California with my family at a very young age, around 1960. And my mother was a single parent. And the reason that she came here, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind, was because she thought California held something that other states didn't hold.
Well, California did and does hold something. Even though we're don't have any money, and even though if you read the paper or look at the TV news every night, you would want to crawl in a hole and move off somewhere else. But you know what? You can look at your glass half full or half empty, or you can look at your glass as filled to the top. And I happen to think that Californians have never shied away from adversity. This is just something else, another problem for us to solve. We'll do it, we'll move on, and we'll continue to have good lives here in California.
Huell Hauser is joining us on the Travel Guys today on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Huell, how many places have you been to in California on location to do bits for PBS?
Literally thousands. And the most, one of the most interesting questions I get from people, they'll come up and go, Mr. Hauser, they all call me Mr. Hauser now out of respect for their elders. Mr. Hauser, you have been doing this for so long. And they say that just like that, so long. Aren't you about to run out of places to go? Well, I don't tell them this, but I think that's kind of a silly, unthinking kind of a question, because we're talking about California here. If you told me that I couldn't leave a 10-mile radius from where we're sitting right now for the rest of my professional career as far as stories are concerned, it wouldn't bother me a bit. Because the truth of the matter is, and I know it sounds trite to say it, but every single person has a story to tell. And so much of what we do with our travels is not just about places, but about the people who live there. And we'll never run out of stories in California. You talk about job security. California is it as far as people's stories are concerned. Although I'm not sure that if you were in the middle of North Dakota, I wouldn't be saying exactly the same.
I'm sure you would. I'm about to head out with a tour group on the Lincoln Highway from
Absolutely.
Chicago to Cheyenne in a couple of weeks, and I can tell you already that those are exactly the kinds of places and things and
Absolutely.
People.
Or the middle of Newark, New Jersey, which does not have the greatest reputation in the world. But you know what? There's no place on the face of this earth that doesn't have good people and bad people living in it. And you can either search out the bad or you can search out the good. And it, I think a lot of it is the attitude you wake up with every morning and meet each new day with. You can either look at it as, oh my gosh, another lousy day, moaning and groaning and complaining about things that people in most parts of the world couldn't even understand what you're upset about. Or you could look at it and say, here's another beautiful day. What's this day going to bring? Who am I going to meet? What am I going to discover? What adventures am I going to have? Let's get going.
So that brings the obvious question. You're talking about good people and bad people. What stands out in your mind as perhaps among the most interesting places, or perhaps among the places that you got into and didn't quite, wasn't quite what you thought it was.
Oh, so you're looking for that dark side.
Well, no,
see,
I'm just
looking
for something interesting.
You know, you ain't going to get the dark side from me. Here's the deal. I go into each one of my stories really with kind of a blank slate. I don't have expectations. I try not to prejudge what that experience is going to be. I try to take that day and take that experience for what it turns into being. For example, Sunday, we're going to the jumping frog contest at Calaveras, you know, the Mark Twain jumping frog. Well, I've read about that all of my life. I have no idea what that's going to be, what it's going to be like, who I'm going to meet, what kind of frog experience I'm going to have. But I'm excited about being there. So, you know, I think one of the secrets to the success of our program is I think people watching it know, can tell, that we don't do a lot of research, we don't do a lot of planning. We just kind of turn the camera on, go into that situation, and go, what's going on here? And that's what life is all about, is you know, not having a lot of expectations, but just seeing what the day's going to bring. So the real adventure, and the reason I've stayed enthusiastic and positive all these years after doing thousands of these stories, is that each day, each adventure is truly a learning experience for me. And the beauty of this is that if you watch the program on an ongoing basis, hopefully, we're not only showing our viewers specific places they can go and specific experiences they can have, but we open up their minds to going on their own voyages of discovery, of finding their own stories, of meeting their own neighbors and people who live in their communities.
And bless you, that's where people like me come in. So thank you for setting them up.
But
you set them up, we'll knock them down.
Well, but the idea is that you know, rather than just, it's more of a state of mind.
I agree.
Than anything else. And that's what travel is. That's what meeting people, having new adventures, seeing new places, That's what that's all about. And that's the way to approach life, is wonder what's around the corner. Wonder what's over the hill. There is so much to see and do up here. Anybody who says they're bored with life, who lives up in this part of California, there's something wrong with them. And they need to get out and take advantage and start looking for and enjoying California's gold.
Huell Hauser, thank you for your time today, sir.
Thank you very much.
Huell Hauser, our guest right here on The Travel Guys on News Talk 1530. I am Mark Hoffman. Thank you for joining us today. We have a couple minutes before the bottom of the hour here, so let's go to our mystery spot contest. We've given a couple of clues. 921-1530 if you would like to venture a guest. There's a five-day, four-night trip to Hawaii or New York City, your choice. The clues for today's spot are: Gerald Ford spent time here as a kid. I had to change my name to make sure the post office delivered the mail. Third clue, the straits here have been treacherous to many a vessel. Let's take a guess here. Ron in Lodi is on the phone holding. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Mark.
What's your guess, sir?
Well, my guess is Omaha, Nebraska. I know he was born there.
Ah, yep, that my hometown, but not, but not correct. Thank you. Thanks for the try, Ron. 921-1530 if you think you know the mystery spot. The clues: Gerald Ford spent time here as a kid. I had to change my name to make sure the post office delivered my mail. I am an island, but not really in the stream. The straits here have been treacherous to many a vessel. Think about those clues, and we'll come back and take some more calls. We're going to speak with road reporter Clayton Whitehead, who is on a train heading across Canada. When we come back to The Travel Guys, you're listening to News Talk 1530 KFBK.
On the road again.
Welcome back to The Travel Guys. I am Mark Hoffman. Tom Romano is out roaming the streets of Sacramento someplace. If you see him and you have a leash, bring him home. They can use him here at the radio station. All right, we are trying to give away a trip to New York City or to Hawaii as part of our mystery spot contest. And we have our second mystery spot that we are chasing after today. Our clues are: Gerald Ford spent time here as a kid. I had to change my name to make sure the post office delivered the mail. I'm an island, but not really in the stream. The straits here have been treacherous to many a vessel. Let's go to Mariah, is it? Mariah on line two. What's your guess, Mariah?
Michigan.
Come again?
Is it Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Grand Rapids, Michigan. Right state, wrong city. You were close. Thank you, Mariah. Let's go next to Ruth. Ruth, what do you think?
Hello.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
Welcome to The Travel Guys. What do you think the mystery spot is?
I'm thinking Mackinac, Michigan. Mackinac Island.
Well, Ruth, you've given me two different guesses there.
What?
So you have to guess one or the other.
Oh, one or the other? You mean between Mackinac and Mackinac Island?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll just have to go with Mackinac Island.
Mackinac Island is correct.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations. Congratulations. All right, Ruth, yes, Mackinac Island is where Gerald Ford spent time as a kid. He actually shoveled horse poop there one summer as a summer job. They had trouble getting their mail delivered to the island because they had the same spelling as the city on the mainland, so they changed the spelling. Of course, they are an island, and the Mackinac Straits have been known for many years as being very treacherous to cross. And also our online clue for those who didn't have the time to check there. Henry Ford's influence wasn't felt here. Our next clue was going to be: other than bicycles and the fire truck, horses and buggies are the only way to get around. So, Ruth, congratulations. You have won a trip for two to San Francisco on Amtrak and overnight accommodations at Fisherman's Wharf. And you will be one of our six finalists. And at the end of the Mystery Spot Contest, we'll come right here to the studio. We will have a travel trivia show and figure out who gets the trip to New York City or Hawaii.
Okay.
All right. So stay on the line, and our call screener will, Kendall, will talk. We'll get some information from you. All right. Thank you very much, Ruth, for a lucky guess. Mackinac Island, Michigan, our second mystery spot. We will have another one next week. We still have two more road reports to go this afternoon, so we'll take a quick break and come back. You're listening to The Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
All right, welcome back to The Travel Guys. It's News Talk 1530. I am Mark Hoffman, sans Tom Romano today, our other travel guy. He will be back with us in 2 weeks because I will be on the road, on the Lincoln Highway, in fact. And we are joined on the phone now by one of our road reporters, one of our travel guys who is all the way around the world. Chris Galloway is joining us on the phone now from the shadows of Mount Fuji, Japan. And it is the wee hours of the morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, you sound like you almost are awake.
Believe it or not.
So tell me about Japan.
Oh, man, what do you want to know?
Well, you guys are about halfway through your journey at this point. You've got a group of folks from Sacramento in tow, and you're Kyoto and Tokyo, and I'm not sure all the places that you're going. You've had a Kobe beef dinner. Is that stuff really all it's cracked up to be?
Oh, it is amazing. It explodes in your mouth. You cannot imagine the flavor. Everyone's talking about how we're ruined for American beef now. But we're slumming it here at the Hotel Mount Fuji in five-star accommodations. We had a wonderful traditional Japanese meal last night, five-star dining, and enjoyed the hot springs. And today we will be taking the coach up to the fifth station to view the mountain.
To the fifth station, so explain that to us.
Okay, so you take a motor coach up, and there are stations along the way, basically picture stops, and the fifth station is the highest one. So we will be up actually above the clouds.
So
that is where you find the best pictures.
I was just going to ask you if the weather in Japan today, if it was clear. Of course, the sun hasn't come up yet there, so I guess you probably wouldn't know that. But such as the job of being a road reporter halfway around the world. Chris, tell me some of your thoughts of Japan. I know you've traveled there before, and you folks saw a traditional Japanese tea ceremony, I believe.
We did. I forget exactly the name of the city that was in, but that was really nice. They took us into a small little pavilion area and performed the ritual in front of us. And the tea master, the head of the ceremony, we were able to ask him questions, and he kind of described the way it all evolved 400 years ago and the rituals and customs involved. It's really fascinating. But as far as Japan as a whole, this country is absolutely amazing. The people are so warm and welcoming. The culture, the traditions that are still alive today are just, it's fascinating the way that it's just been combined in with modern life.
We're talking with Chris Galloway, our road reporter, all the way from Mount Fuji, Japan, live on the Travel Guys this afternoon on KFBK. It's a beautiful day in Sacramento. It's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. I guess we should tell people that it is not quite 5 a.m. in the morning on Monday in Japan because you're on the other side of the dateline. Chris, tell us if you're in Japan with a group of travelers right now. You've been through international airport security and all of that kind of stuff. Is there anything that struck – and you're an international traveler, I know. So is there anything that struck you as something that folks ought to know about traveling internationally this summer?
No, we haven't experienced any problems at all. No real delays at security. Coming through the Japanese customs, that sort of thing, you did see banners, you know, mentioning the heightened awareness because of the possibilities and that sort of thing. But no, we haven't experienced any problems at all.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So the Japanese people are fine. The beef was good.
Oh, yes.
And what would a dinner like that cost? Do you have any idea if you were just an independent traveler?
I did check, and it appeared to be roughly $70.
About $70 US. So that's not too unreasonable. What does Kobe beef taste like? Somebody said a really good filet mignon.
It tops filet mignon. It is absolutely like a beautiful pink because, you know, these cows are massaged, so the fat actually works its way into the muscle. But when you put it into your mouth and you bite down, it literally explodes.
Wow.
It is just So tender. It's butter.
You're talking to an Omaha boy here, so, you know, yeah, I would say bring one home, but I'm afraid that it might not make the trip. You're headed next for Tokyo. Any highlights there? Anything that you'd like to mention to folks that you guys are going to be doing in Tokyo?
Well, let's see. Tokyo, we're going to be visiting the Shinjuku shopping district, and that's kind of like, let's say Times Square on steroids. So there's going to be lights galore.
Wow, wow. Speaking of shopping, things are more or less expensive in Japan?
You know, things tend to run about average, but the price tags will scare you. Because if a price tag says 6,300 yen, well, that's roughly $65. But when you first look at it, you think, goodness gracious, really? 6,300? It does take a little bit of getting used to, and it's kind of funny to watch our folks when we first walked into gift shops.
Well, Chris, I hope that you folks have a great rest of your travels over in Japan and a safe trip back home to California next week.
Thank you much.
All right. Chris Galloway joining us live from the shadows of Mount Fuji, Japan, live on the Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530. And on the phone now is a guy who is apparently loose somewhere in the streets of Sacramento. Is that you, Tom?
Hello, Mark. Wow, I didn't even have to wait on hold for any length of time to get on this very popular Travel Guys radio.
Well, I want you to know that we are keeping Travel Guy Clayton Whitehead on hold just so I could talk to you.
Well, all right. Well, we won't keep him too long. Where's Clayton calling from?
Well, Clayton is up in Montreal, believe it or not. He is taking a train trip all the way across Canada, and he went from Vancouver to Toronto, and then they took another segment to Montreal, and I believe they're getting ready to head on to Halifax, so we're going to hear all about that. Of course, we just had Chris Galloway, and we've just figured out our second mystery spot, which was Mackinac Island.
Well, all right. Congratulations to our winner for this week.
So what are you doing today, sir? I understand shopping for wedding.
I have been. And you know what? One of the things that I've discovered in searching for wedding venues is that there are lots and lots of wonderful places to choose from. And in the process, I've got to do a little traveling. Today I'm in Lodi, California, at a place called Wine and Roses. And as I stand here in the garden area and look around me, I could be in Florida, I could be in Hawaii, I could be on vacation almost anywhere. This facility is like a resort. It has spas and places to get a pedicure and a manicure. And like I say, they do have wedding facilities, they have banquet facilities, but you would never guess in a million years that you would find something like this in the heart of the wine country in Lodi. So, you know, from the Travel Guy's perspective, if you want to get away and, maybe do a couple of days, and feel like you're, hundreds or thousands of miles away, from the Sacramento area, you've got to only travel 45 minutes down the street to what the Creedence Clearwater Revival used to say, stuck in Lodi. It doesn't really apply. It would be virtually a destination to Lodi, to Wine and Roses. And then there are other beautiful vineyards and places all around this area to check out. So anyway, we're here in Lodi, on the road.
Well, it's not quite the slopes of Mount Fuji, but it definitely is a road report. Thank you, Tom.
All right, buddy. You guys have a great rest of your day, and thanks for letting me be a part of the show today.
You're welcome. Be good to the grapes down there in Lodi.
I shall. I'll go squeeze some right now.
All right, buddy. See you in a couple of weeks.
All righty.
Tom Romano, the other half of the Travel Guys, down in. I didn't know we were going to have a road report from Lodi today. Becoming a destination itself. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, Clayton Whitehead joins us live from Montreal, Canada, right here on the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
On the road again.
Wow, it has been a busy afternoon here on the Travel Guys. We have been to Japan. We have been to Monument Valley. We have been down to Lodi. We have talked to Huell Hauser from PBS. We have given away, we have qualified another person to give away a trip to Hawaii or New York by guessing our mystery spot of Mackinac Island. So Mackinac Island, Michigan, followed, which was Lewis and Clark National Park, was our first. In 2 weeks, we will have our third mystery spot. And Joining us on the phone now, patiently waiting, he is in Montreal, Canada, or thereabouts, is road reporter Clayton Whitehead. Good afternoon, Clayton.
Bonjour, Monsieur Mark. Comment allez-vous?
Muy bien, gracias.
yeah, right.
No habla francés.
Oh, well, sorry about that, but it's a great language to have when you're traveling around Quebec.
How's the weather in Montreal today?
Well, I tell you, I think they heard the Californians were coming. They turned on the heat for us. We started in Vancouver. Last weekend, we've been on the road and on the rails 7 days. The coolest temperature we've seen is 27 degrees, and I don't mean Fahrenheit, I mean Celsius. That's high 80s, and it is warm in Canada.
And this is a really unique trip that you're on. You're on a train journey all the way across Canada, or we could say North America. I mean, because this is you left Vancouver on the Canadian, which is some people would say is the most deluxe rail service anywhere in North America.
It absolutely is. It's a lovely train. The views are stunning, of course, as you come across the coastal mountain range and then the Rocky Mountains. And even the plains have a certain beauty and order about them as you make your way into Ontario and ending in Toronto. From Vancouver to Toronto, it's about 85 hours on the train. So that's the better part of 4 days. And that's a little bit more than half of our journey, as we will eventually, once we get to Halifax in a couple of days, we'll have gone a little over 5,000 miles by rail.
Wow, that is unbelievable. So you're literally seeing the country. I mean, you're seeing everything. You went through the Canadian Rockies on the train?
Absolutely. The Rockies are beautiful. They've timed the train. Now, this is a train that goes continuously, so you sleep on board, sightsee by day, sleep at night. But they've timed the train so that you don't miss any of the best scenery to nightfall. So we were just on the western edge of the Rockies as the sun rose, and we saw the Rockies in all their stunning glory as we came over the pass and then sat down on the eastern side in the plains.
So you've come across the plains, and that particular leg of your journey ends in Toronto, is that correct?
Yes, we're almost 4 days on the train between Vancouver and Toronto. Then it's just a day train between Toronto and Montreal, about half a day. And then the final leg will begin in about 11 minutes, so I can't talk very long.
So you all have stopped over in Toronto and also in Montreal, and now you're getting ready. You're literally getting ready to board a train ahead for Halifax. Is that an overnight trip?
Yes, it's 22 more hours to Halifax, the provincial capital of Nova Scotia, which will take us all the way to the East Coast. We'll get there tomorrow evening.
Wow, what an amazing journey. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in Montreal today. What are you seeing? What are you doing?
Well, it's been a great trip. I'm happy to say they have finally paid off the 76 Olympics. That's the big announcement. Bless their hearts, they've been working on it over 30 years. But we toured the Olympic Museum today, the Olympic Stadium. This would be the Olympics where Nadia Comaneci scored her perfect 10 in gymnastics. Bruce Jenner won the decathlon. It was an exciting year for the Olympics. And also we toured the historic Velodrome. Now, this would have been the arena for the bicycle events. It's now been turned into the Biodome, and it is a greenhouse on steroids. It gives you a rainforest, a trip to the Antarctic complete with penguins, a trip across the Great Plains, a little bit of everything Canada has to offer.
Clayton Whitehead joins us this afternoon on News Talk 1530 KFPK. He's giving us a road report all the way from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, whereas he is in the middle of a train journey across Canada. Clayton, in Canada now, of course, in the United States, it's Amtrak. For folks who are not familiar with train travel in Canada, tell them a little bit about how it's organized and how it's set up in Canada.
Sure. The public rail in Canada, which is government-supported, is called VIA, V-I-A. And this is a combination of historic Canadian Pacific, the Canadian National, and a number of other provincial railroads. This is now the only passenger rail that goes from coast to coast. There are a few private trains that do certain portions of the country, especially on the west and over the Rockies. But VIA is your only way to get from coast to coast. It's not inexpensive, but it is a beautiful, beautiful way and a very restful way to see the country. Also, I have to tell you, it's been probably 6 years or so since I've been on VIA. The food is just extraordinary. It was good before, but now it's great. Wild, fresh, both Pacific and Atlantic salmon, beautiful steaks, wonderful pork, beautiful vegetarian dishes, really the eating has been quite remarkable on the train.
Now, Clayton, you folks are going to be in Nova Scotia in just a couple of days. You've got a group of sports leisure travelers with you, and when you get to Nova Scotia, you've got some sightseeing and things. I suspect that you're going out to Peggy's Cove, which is the beautiful spot just south of town there.
Absolutely. We'll be heading to Peggy's Cove. They say that's the most photographed spot in Canada, and I don't doubt it. It's just the quintessential little East Coast fishing village. That will be a part of our Halifax touring, and I even brought my kilt to wear just in case I run into any of my cousins.
So if folks are interested in making a train trip across Canada, obviously ViaRail.com would be a great place to start, or you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. We will have all the websites from all everything our road reporters have mentioned today, Japan, Via Rail, all the places that Scott Angeletti mentioned in Monument Valley will all also be listed there, TravelGuysRadio.com, or, of course, you can go to Via Rail. Clayton, you folks have a few more days left in your journey. Hopefully it'll be a little cooler when you get to Halifax, at least. You'll be on the ocean.
Well, I'm betting on that, and I'm sorry that Tom isn't there because I wanted to bring him greetings. I actually have his aunt and uncle traveling with me, Andy and Gloria.
Well,
they're looking forward to the big wedding, too.
And you were on hold while he was giving us our Lodi travel report. Did you caught the Lodi update there?
Yeah, I sure did. When I was on the board of KVIE, we had one of our retreats out at Wine and Roses, and just call Tom and tell him he can stop his searching now because it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, Wine and Roses is a facility that we have sent tour groups to on a number of occasions, and folks always come back and just rave about it. I guess we probably should charge them for this commercial, but nonetheless,
yeah,
extremely nice people and great place. Clayton, thank you so much for your call, for your patience in waiting. You guys have a wonderful trip, and thanks for all the information on taking the train across Canada.
Okay, buddy, I've got a train to catch, so let me run.
All right, we'll see you soon. Clayton Whitehead, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is The Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFPK.
On the road again. Just can't wait.
Well, I hope you have enjoyed our trip around the world, literally, today. We have been to Monument Valley, to Montreal, to Mount Fuji, Japan. We have been to Lodi with Tom Romano. We have talked with Huell Hauser, longtime PBS travel show host. I cannot remember a busier hour of radio in all the time that I have ever been on radio. So thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you to Tom Romano, who edits our interviews, and to Clayton Whitehead, our executive producer, who helps line up some of our guests, and all the people who help make the Travel Guys possible, and all to all the members of the Sports Leisure Vacations family who are tuned in. A special shout out to my dad, who is fighting a big battle in Kansas City. And I thank you all for being a part of our program today. We are going to be back in 2 weeks with the Travel Guys. We are going to have our Oregon Staycation program for you in 2 weeks. I will be on the Lincoln Highway calling into Tom, but we will have a brand new mystery spot. We will have an Oregon show with great places to visit and things to see and do in Oregon. We are going to have a hot air balloon company. We will have river rafting. We'll have folks from the Portland Rose Festival. We'll have great places from Newport, Oregon, and a wonderful program. Join us on the Travel Guys in 2 weeks, Sunday at noon. I'm Mark Kaufman for Tom Romano. See you soon.